But the same voice whom you hear and teach you to give is the same voice who will speak to you and say, go and raise that person from the dead. Go and bring healing to the person in a wheelchair. It's the same voice. And we are trained to hear God's voice through dealing with our finances and our charitable ability. That's where our training is. When we can hear God in that area, God will begin to speak in many other areas to our lives. Same voice. Say, why does God deal with our finances so much? Because it's that area where He makes us die to self. And it's that area where He gets our obedience to see whether we are serving God or we are serving mammon. And if you are honest with me, you would have admit that every single one of us from our past finds it hard to part with money. Find it difficult. But through the years as you grow as a Christian life, that is the first part God deals with, through hearing Him. And as we hear God in that area, something dies in our life. And we have a greater ability to hear from God in other areas. If the love of money is the root of all evil, definitely, before you can succeed in hearing God successfully in the world, God will deal with the root of all evil in your life. And it is dealt with by teaching us to be impartial, to be charitable, to share, to give, to bless all around us. And there will always be people around you that need your help, need a little help somewhere. It doesn't mean that some of us need to go to the extreme of selling your house, selling your car, and then giving the whole thing away. And I don't mean that, those things, unless God really speaks. And you got to really be sure too. But just simple things. Sometimes it's just giving a dollar to somebody, $10 to somebody, or just giving somebody a little help here and a little help there. These are the things that train our hearing all the time. And as we are able to hear from God in the area, the other areas of hearing will be developed in chapter 2. Each chapter has its main emphasis. Chapter 3, the tongue, the spoken word. And he is specific in verse 8 by saying that no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. Talks about the power of the tongue, and there's tremendous power that he gives here to the tongue. And here's another one which may be good to just look at it in verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. And not forgetting verse 26 of chapter 1, if anyone among you thinks he is religious or spiridual and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Which is number 3. Before our speech can be used by God, and before we begin to develop the sense of taste that God wants us, a taste for His Word, a hunger for His Word, then we need to control the tongue. Let's compare a little bit with Matthew Remember we said in James chapter 1, is blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We did not give any of the Beatitudes or chapter 2, which we will take from Matthew chapter 5. Tells us in verse 8 there, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's why we took it just now for James chapter 1. And in chapter 2 of James, where we teach on the area of hearing and dealing with mammon in our life, we see here in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there are also the other passages that we can link to. In verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But primarily verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall receive, or they shall obtain the kingdom of God. They shall live in the kingdom of God. Understand the blessing of living in the kingdom of God. When you're in the kingdom, it's like the manifestation of the kingdom is in your life. Hearing God is the easiest thing in the world. Not as difficult. I says we need to be poor in spirit. And of course we know that that is a kind of a spiritual area of emphasis and poverty. But it will touch on the natural. Not that we desire the curse of the law, but rather that we are willing to just live simply, that we could bless greatly. You could tell whether one has a certain poor in the spiritness that is there. And it's necessary for that to happen, for us to really obtain, or the word obtain is to receive the kingdom of God. And think about what the kingdom of God means in the gospel. The kingdom of God means power. The kingdom always comes in power. It always comes in great demonstrations of power, healing, and casting out of devils. All those things come only when we hear God. Hearing God is prerogative behind the kingdom of God coming forth. It talks about the seed that He's sown, those who have ears that hear, and then the kingdom of God coming into their lives. And we have in James chapter 3 passages of the tongue that comes. And for that, we are taking forth this area of verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Because you notice in verse 17 and 18, it talks about gentleness and meekness. Gentleness and meekness. You could also put in James 2, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, in James chapter 2. That is also applicable. It's a sort of hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're only interested to establish righteousness and rather than anything else. So in James chapter 3, talking about speech, meekness comes in. A sharp tongue comes from a hard and arrogant spirit. The meeker the spirit, the more subdued the tongue. It talks about the tongue as an object that needs to be tamed. It compares it to a horse that you put a bridle. The horse doesn't like the bridle, it's painful. But finally, when the horse yields to the bridle, The horse has been subdued. It could have been a wild horse, an untrained horse. And it takes a while for the horse to be trained. Generally, there could be exceptions, generally, a wild horse will resist being sat upon. Which is why the trainer will have to sit and hang for dear life. Until the horse leaps and jumps, twists and turns, trying to toss the rider out from his back. And if he's an expert and he hangs long enough, the horse finally quiets and accepts the rider. Then the horse is considered tame. And then after some time, they put a bridle on the horse to control the horse and turn it whichever direction they want the horse to go. If the horse resists, it's painful. So in James chapter 3, it speaks about the training of the tongue. The training of the tongue begins in the spirit of meekness that must come upon our life. A kind of softness of the spirit that sometimes takes a lot of tribulation. But James chapter 1 is very clear. If a person is chatty and yucky, they cannot be very spiritual people. The more spiritual you are, the less you talk. And speaking about the intercessor that we have, he talks very little. And I was talking to some people about sending him to help in the church to pray. And so I warned them, I said, look here, he only talks heaven. Doesn't talk anything else. So, you know, if you find him strange, but he's all the time in heaven. His spirit is always seeking there. And it's different, like because I'm not just 100% intercessor, I'm in the pastoral ministry, so you got to relate to people. And so sometimes when you're sitting with a person, you go out to also talk some natural things and discuss natural things with the person, but he would just refuse to do all those things. You can talk natural things, he'll stare at you. Very, very few words. But there's something calm. And let's look at James chapter 3, verse 13. It says, who is wise and understanding? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Why doesn't it say inherit the kingdom? That belongs to the other side. That belongs to the other side. Oh, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He is blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, the cause and the nature of the earth. Again, it ties to the tongue. The tongue is a controlling force in the cause of nature. And it's that meekness that is important in a person's life. And if someone is yucky, it's because Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5 is not true yet. And you ask them, have you inherited the earth, the heaven? There need to come a meekness into a person's spirit. Someone or Jesus himself had to enter into the person's heart and say, peace be still. Then on the inside is still. People are yucky for two opposite reasons. One is either they are filled with all the wrong things and it keeps coming out. There's something inside that is wrong. All kinds of wrong things, and out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All the wrong things come out. The second thing, extreme of people being yucky, is because they are empty. And that is their smoke screen. So they throw out a smoke screen so that you can't see their real self. And such people tell empty jokes all the time. Crack empty jokes here and there all the time. And they're trying to hide something. The smoke screen. So these two extremes are yucky. But God wants His people to be straight as they are. We say when we know we have something to say. We keep quiet when we know we're not supposed to say anything. A meekness of the spirit. And look at verse 15 and 16 of James chapter 3.